This episode is brought to you by 6 Feet Up, the Python, Django, and AI experts who solve hard software problems. Whether it's scaling an application, deriving insights from data, or getting results from AI, 6 Feet Up helps you move forward faster. See what's possible at 6feetup.com. Hello, welcome to another episode of Django Chat. I'm Will Vincent with Carlton Gibson. Hey, Carlton.
Hello, Will.
And we're very pleased to welcome back John and Elaine, who are the chair and co-chair of PyCon US. Welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, great to be here.
So I went to PyCon US last year. I'm going this year in Long Beach, but either one of you, like, let's start with the facts. Like, when is it? How long? Give the pitch.
As per usual, we have a lovely, lovely new venue. As some folks may or may not know, DjangoCon. PyCon US. rotates basically locations every 2 years. Last year we were in Pittsburgh, so this year is our first year of 1 year of two in Long Beach, and we'll be hanging out starting May 13th, and we'll go all the way to the 19th. So book your tickets, because it'll be a lot of fun. We start out with 2 days of tutorials, followed by 3 days of talks, and then my favorite part, which is the sprints, which will be the last 2 days on Monday and Tuesday.
And I'm very excited. I'm going to be there for the tutorials at the booth for PyCharm JetBrains, but then I get to stay for the sprints too, for a change. So I'm pretty happy about that. And Long Beach is great. I haven't been there since a friend got married, like 7 years ago, and we stayed in the Queen Elizabeth out in the harbor. And Long Beach is really beautiful. So it's a great venue, especially in May. I've already got my runs planned along, because you're right along the beach. You can just go and go and go along the paths.
Now, do you agree that the Queen Mary is haunted?
Oh, yeah. So for people who don't know, right, it's an old ocean liner that went back and forth to Europe, and now it's been parked, and it's a hotel, I guess. We did the reception on it. I don't know. I didn't spend the night there. So if I spent the night, maybe I'd feel it was haunted. Didn't feel haunted just being there for a party.
Yeah, you got to be there at 4 a.m. to get the ghosts.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, do you already have a project to sprint on, or are you looking to join somebody else's?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm not sure. There's a Django ticket I'm supposed to work on, so maybe that. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I have a couple things for the community, but I'm always happy to also just work with people there. Those are things that hopefully develop organically around being at the event. I don't know. Are you going to be able to make the sprints, John?
Yeah, I'll be at the sprints. For us, I think it's still a bit of, hey, there's still a lot of stuff to do, even as the event is winding down. But I do try to find some time to work on some stuff. Usually for me, that's Pi Video.
I think it's the organizer, the idea you're going to get something done at the sprints is the height of optimism.
Well, because Carlton, when you were following, you would organize, what would you call it? It was like, getting people to do their first PRs to Django.
I went to DjangoCon Europe in Copenhagen in like 2019. I basically just spent the entire day running around table to table, giving the same, 3 minute introduction to, look, here's the issue trigger, here's this, like trying to get people going. And I was like, this doesn't scale. I don't scale. I could hardly speak at the end of the day. I was exhausted. I was like, no, this doesn't work. So that year in DjangoCon US, I organized a workshop where we just did getting started, and we had four tables and we had some experienced hands helping, and it was amazing. It went really well. And so that became a bit of a tradition to, run that kind of getting started, contributing to Django workshop, because a lot of people turn up at the sprints and they're looking for a project to join in on, or they've never been to a sprint before, or this is their first opportunity to contribute. And they're like, okay, what? And you can't just have people stood there not knowing what to do in that point. You have to have some way of welcoming them in and concierging them into, the sprint experience, because it's wonderful. I honestly think it's the best bit of the conferences.
I completely agree with you, Carlton. Like, for this year, we have a lovely sprint chair truck, and actually, she'll be running the lovely, hey, have you done sprints before? No? Let's get started. So she'll be running the table to kind of get everyone's sorted and situated. We have a lot of projects usually at sprints, so It's a bit of just like, how do you get set up? And then we'll unleash you to the maintainers of various Python packages and libraries to kind of get you all excited to contribute. I know CPython also will have a table as well for like folks who want to contribute but haven't done it before. So just to get everyone started, so that way, right after Monday morning when we go through the spiel, you're in that good place where you can tackle that first issue. I know Beware in the past actually has a buddy system. So that was my first open source contribution was hang out with the Beware folks. And yeah, I had a great mentor and he kind of showed me ropes, and I felt kind of bad because I was so new to everything. And he was like, oh, do you want to do this like, highly internal thing together? And I was like, sure. Yeah, how hard can it be?
Well, usually it's just like it gets you fired up to then actually work on it afterwards. And then, you know, the next time you see that person.
I think the Beware team do it really well as well, though, because they have little medals that you've contributed and they've
It's the wooden points, right, that Russ and the team have.
Well, yeah, I don't know what you have to do to get what different grade of coin.
They also have various coins challenge too.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, so you got to collect them all.
Smart. Go ahead, Carlton.
I was just going to say, like, they turn up and they've got projects that are new contributor friendly prepared. And I think that's a really important thing as well. If you're maintaining a project and you're going to run a sprint, to at least have thought through, well, what can I, you know, what issues can I give to people? What tickets can I point them towards? What, you know, what work is there? Because if people can turn up, I want to work on your project, you're like, that can be an awkward moment when you haven't really thought it through in advance. I speak from experience.
Yeah, I think that's like a lot of aspects of this, right? Where if you show up to a conference not knowing about all of the work that has gone into the sprint and the rest of the aspects there, you know, it's easy to think, oh, it just all comes together. But there are people who are doing, you know, prepping those projects with good first issue and getting their contribution workflows defined, you know, well in advance.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to highlight. So PyCon US is a big deal, right? Like PyCon US, EuroPython, these are the two tent poles, I would say, globally of the Python experience. And within that, there's all these summits that happen, you know, specifically in PyCon US. Is that something one of you could talk about, right? Because a lot of places don't have their own summits or conferences, so they meet while they're at PyCon US.
Yeah, there's a lot of... So when I was doing my whole spiel about PyCon US, I really just focused on that whole, like that main kind of, like, oh, there's tutorials, there's talks, and summits are a huge part of it. Summits are basically kind of even more specialized kind of area where a lot of different folks will talk specifically about certain things like packaging and maintaining. And also we have an education summit. So like it's kind of like focusing your interests or what you're really passionate about or what you're working on into these kind of like half day and sometimes full day sessions. And you kind of, and it's kind of like, and that's a lot of, and it takes a lot of work to kind of find people who can speak to these topics, convincing them to speak and also convincing them to all get in the room together. So the Maintainers Summit folks are doing a fabulous job right now. They're about to release, I think, John, please correct me, their schedule. And it's additionally more, a lot, in addition to work that other folks are doing in other aspects. So like we have a talks committee and they're in charge of like reviewing talks. And same with the tutorials folks, they had to review the tutorial proposals, and we had posters, and we also have Charles, which is our Spanish speaking track. So it kind of like bubbles across. And this year we also have two new tracks, which is security and AI. And we also got folks to come in and chair those kind of tracks and get reviewers as well. And it's been really cool watching a lot of folks in the Python community who are specialists in these areas kind of pop up and be like, oh, let me help you pick. And kind of really shows, because we got over 1,000 proposals this year, and it's been a great year for us. Seeing the community go, hey, I have something to talk about, or I have something to present. And the hardest part was just getting everyone to go through all the reviews, tag them, you know, to go, okay, here's 10, 20, 50 talks to review. So we really appreciate everyone who's kind of done all this work to make this possible. Like you would think, oh, you know, how hard could it be? Just a few thousand people hanging out for a couple of days, you know, you just show up, right? But this thing has been in motion and planning. I feel like maybe even during last year's conference, I feel like we started planning, John and I, for this year. And same with the PSS staff that are great, that have been kind of shepherding a lot of the logistics as well with the venue, catering, AV. There's so much stuff that happens behind the scenes at this conference that seems very magical. Like you walk in, you're like, everything's done. There's posters everywhere. There's signage. You just kind of like go, just point me to the coffee. Tell me where I can get JetBrains swag.
Yep. Yep. We're going to have a lot of swag. But really,
even like you probably know this. Well, just even setting up a booth at a conference takes a lot of work.
Well, it takes a team. Yeah. I mean, PyCharm team, we're going to have, I should know, I think like at least 10 people and 3 or 4 come the day before. But then there's a whole booth. What is it? Like union that, you know, gets the packages that we ship and then helps us set it up. And yeah, it's unbelievable amount of work, just top to bottom. I mean, Carlton and I last week were at PyTV, which is an event PyCharm did, with 15 speakers, one day, one track. And that took, you know, half a year, like for a lot of us. So to put a bunch of zeros on terms of the number of attendees and speakers at PyCon US is mind boggling.
I'm super curious how you enjoyed the process, Will, because it's often different from what people think it is going in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have friends who I've spoken with both of you before, you know, Jeff Triplett, who's a DjangoCon US Defna bigwig. I'm not totally clueless about how much work goes into it, but yeah, it's nothing like actually doing it and being responsible and shepherding all the talent, you know. So hopefully for Carlton was one of the speakers there. Hopefully it was pretty smooth for you.
I had a lovely time. I just sort of turned up, walked where people pointed me, did my thing, walked off again.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're so happy with how it turned out. But there's just, and again, the two of you can speak to this, there's just so many steps that all have to happen and things can go awry and you have to have planning and working with people. And yeah, it was great for the PyCharm team. Like we did it at a professional studio, but even just that, we, you know, there were half a dozen staff people at the studio and doing the run through and like, what if this breaks? What if that breaks? And the talent, the catering, again, just for like one room with just one event. So to do it at the scale that you all do. So it's a lot. I appreciate conference organizers and I appreciate them even more having done this like teeny tiny by comparison one, but it's not something to go into, you know. And I would say, so it's a ton of work, but also it's a great way to get to know and work with colleagues, you know, so some colleagues in other departments I hadn't worked with as closely. I'm sure for the two of you, you know, in doing this over these years, you really, really get to know staff and volunteers much better.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think much of my social circle over the years has become Python conference organizers.
Yeah.
And so it's always super fun to be able to put in some work with those folks and like see that come to life, right? It's very enjoyable to go from that, like probably when it's most noticeable is right before, when you're still doing like the final setup for whatever like physical materials and, you know, you're putting up the booth and whatever, and then the doors open. Right. PyCon US has an opening reception, as you know, Will. And so I think that's a good kind of microcosm of this, right? Up until those doors open, everybody's putting the final touches on their booths. And then when the doors open, you know, however many people flood into that room, and it goes from being before the event to right in the middle of it, in no time at all.
Well, and I know the two of you, I saw both of you, you know, last year, and especially you, John, you would come by the exhibit hall and it's just totally like you're scanning for danger. You come in, say hi, you know, how's it going? It's okay. You know, just making sure everything's not on fire. Right. Like, and then, you know, hopefully both of you have like a decompression period after the conference. 'Cause, you must need that, right? It's such an intensity of work and focus.
I think it's interesting because like I have so much fun. I always tell my coworkers, always think I'm absolutely crazy at home because I would spend my vacation hanging out with people at a Python conference for, you know, 8-9 days and then go back to work. They're like, oh, that's not a vacation. You know that. And I keep telling them it's my summer camp. This is get to hang out with my friends. I can make new friends. We get to nerd out on my favorite things, which apparently all are related to Python. And it's such a fabulous time. There's always the old, you know, the old saying that, you know, you come for the language, you stay for the community. That's very true about this language. It's very beginner friendly. And then as soon as you get there, I can't describe it. Every time I get so excited, like you just have such a lovely time. People are so nice and they give you such great advice. And you learn something new all the time. I remember one year I had no idea what CircuitPython was. And I think we got got something in our swag bag from those lovely folks from Adafruit. And it was just kind of like learning like, oh, how do electronics work? How do I make it run? How do I make it work? And I had so many lovely people come up and be like, oh, you want to learn more? Yeah, of course. Happy to help. And, you know, where else can you get that? It just seems like such a rare thing these days to just be in a whole big giant room of strangers and come out with so many great ideas and for projects, for stuff to implement on, things to fix, and kind of just going, hey, you're cool. That's just, and you want to talk to me. This is great.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like, I don't know. I don't want to pick on a profession, but I think I'd say almost unique to the tech world that, you know, people are willing to help, willing to learn. And I think also not competing, because that's something I want to get across to people is that, you know, PyCharm's going to be there. I'm sure Microsoft VS Code will be there. You know, the products are competing, but the people, like, we're all friends. We're all sharing tips and tricks. Like, it's not, I don't know, it's not this, like, death match amongst the people, you know, who are at all these companies and all these projects. Same thing, you know, Django, FastAPI, Flask, like, we're all cheering each other on. Carlton, you were going to add something there, I think.
Well, I just want to, you've mentioned like how big it is. It's a two-part question. How many people are we expecting first, like roughly?
So I think last year we had around 2,500. And, you know, new city. And so we'll see how many folks locally join.
Yeah, it's hard to say in
advance. We're in Long Beach too. Yeah.
But something like 2,000 to 3,000 would be in the ballpark. Okay. So if I'm a first time attendee, I might walk into the big reception at the beginning. I might be overwhelmed by 2,000 to 3,000 people. What sort of tips have you got for, you know, first time attendees who, you know, in that kind of space?
I think you should plan to go to the newcomer orientation before you go to the reception. Which you know, a few people will get up on stage and tell you everything you need to know about. So it's your very first PyCon US. And this is, you know, they're going to cover lots more than the like very quick bullet points. Last year I ran around and saying to a bunch of people who were like, hey, we should talk. Yes, I have all the time in the world, but in 30-second increments. So, you know, I can't give the full newcomer orientation spiel there for them. But right. You'll get tips like the Pac-Man rule, right? Where, when you're standing in a circle talking with people, as often happens, make sure to leave a space for more people to join your circle. You know, that's one of the examples of how to make a good time out of your, you know, your first or your 20th conference.
And people really do that, right?
For sure.
It's just lovely when there's a group and you sort of sidle up and they see you sidling up and they open up and you can sidle in and you can, you know, get a feel for what's going on. And then all of a sudden you're friends with people. It's amazing.
Elaine, I'm sure there are plenty of others that are escaping me at the moment.
I think it's the classic, you will meet a lot of folks. Don't be afraid to say hello. You never know the person to your left that you're sitting to at the talk has an interesting bit of information for you that would be totally relevant in your life. Just you know, just approach it as you would first day of school. Just everyone's super friendly. Say hi. Ask where they're from. What's your favorite Python library? See what happens. And my classic example is always just if this is pretty casual conference, don't worry about wearing your business suits. You won't need it as much. Always wear comfortable shoes. This convention center, like all convention centers, are larger than you think. Please, please, please wear shoes that are super comfortable, because you'll be spending a lot of time walking, despite the fact you come in thinking, oh, I'm just going to walk, you know, watch a few talks. It'll be a couple hours, right? Just even walk around the expo hall, walking from talk room one to talk room two. As we all know, California is a very large state, not super known for walkability. So, yeah. And...
so and my when colleagues you meet a bunch of like,
new friends, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I'm flying into LAX. Like, how do I take the train to Long Beach? And I was like, oh, yes, you have not been in California a lot. Maybe you can, but I was like, you probably want to take a taxi.
There is a train. And I will say that it does take a while. And you feel like a sardine trying to get to the train, because the airport shuttle is very popular to get to the LAX transit center. If you can, and it's not during rush hour, because then you're just full of regret, is to try and carpool with friends or find ways to get there via vehicle. But I will say there are ways via public transportation. Just get ready to load up a podcast, perhaps this one, that will give you nice tricks on how to get there, which is basically, I believe there's like a line that gets from, I want to say, once you get to the transit hub, there you kind of, I call it a subway. Perhaps they don't call it a subway, but it's kind of like a metro line that gets you all the way from kind of that transit.
It's above ground. Yeah, most of
it's above ground, yeah.
Yeah, or maybe all the way. Yeah, exactly. Like it's and I do want to emphasize like where the venue is, where Long Beach is. You're right on the water. It's the Pacific Ocean. There's like 40 miles of sidewalk along the beach. Like you can go all the way up to Malibu, you know. So Carlton, if you were coming, we would rent bikes, and past Django Cons in San Diego, we would go biking every morning. Like you can just bike and bike and bike and bike. Like it's so beautiful. I'm planning to go running and hop in the ocean every morning before stuff. So
I'm sure there are a bunch of other folks that are going to do that too. You know, this is something that often happens at these conferences, is someone will say, hey, I'm going for a run, you know, Saturday morning before the talks, who wants to join me? And it will be a whole big group of
There's like a 5k I think at least one of the days. I know that that's grown in size in terms of people organizing stuff. Actually, that's a good question. So somebody who is attending, what's the best way to stay informed? Is it Discord, Slack? Like, how do they stay up to date on stuff both before and then while they're at the conference?
The main venue is going to be the website. There's the PyCon US website is pretty big, because there's a lot going on. But you know, we've got good search functionality, and there's an events tab there that will become more and more populated as we get closer to the conference, along with you know, we'll have our open spaces all listed up there. By the time some folks are listening to this, you'll probably see lots of schedules for talks and tutorials and posters. That's probably the main place people should be looking. We do have an app for the conference as well, so when you're on site, you might find that easier to navigate.
And I'm just going to quickly jump in to explain what open spaces are. So open spaces are a lovely way during the conference to kind of get a room and kind of get like-minded people to talk about projects. So it's kind of like a type of hallway track, but more organized. So in the past, we had some fun stuff, like juggling is always a very big, popular open space. If you don't know how to juggle, we'll teach you how to juggle at PyCon. If you know how to juggle, we have a lot of juggling balls available for juggling. So that's always a fun one. There's always been kind of like a ham radio meetup. There's always been, for example, one of the first folks I met was at conference organizing meetup, open space. So it's kind of an eclectic mixed bag of kind of like, hey, there's 3,000 people here and I want to talk about this. And you just sign up on the website or via our PyCon US app, saying, hey, at 8 a.m., I want to talk about how to data scrape for investigative journalism. And you'll be surprised. A bunch of people show up and you're like, okay, let's talk about data scraping. And so it's a great way of kind of meeting folks outside the talk tracks and kind of nerd out on your favorite topics.
This portion of Django Chat is brought to you by 6 Feet Up. What's stopping you? Maybe it's an application that won't scale or an AI initiative that just isn't delivering. That's where 6 Feet Up comes in. With deep expertise in Python, Django, and AI, they solve hard software problems, modernize platforms, and get teams to market faster. Their impact speaks for itself. Automating healthcare pipelines for hospitals, helping NASA explore Pluto, building severe weather prediction tools, and applying AI to connect farmers with vital crop data. When the stakes are high and the problems are hard, 6 Feet Up is the partner that delivers. See what's possible at 6 Feet Up is the partner that delivers.
Yeah, when Elaine and I were at Scale this past weekend with some folks from other Python communities in Southern California, we got an opportunity to talk with a bunch of the attendees there. And a really good example that I saw of what would be a good open space was several people came up to us and said, hey, look, I have this hardware project and it uses Python. And absolutely, you know, that sort of thing is the kind of thing that we would expect someone to put an open space. I almost said on the board. It used to be a physical thing. We've gone digital, you know.
I think 2019 it was a board. I recall a board way back then. Yeah.
Yeah. For a long time, it was a board with, you know, sticky notes. And it's a bit easier to use on the website. But so that's the kind of thing
it's
that
also way more accessible
very much
now that we've ported it to the website.
Yeah. And you'll get subgroups. I mean, there's the education track. I remember going to one, again, my first one, 2019, the sticky note. Last year in Pittsburgh, there was a Python book authors group. And I think there were like 30 people there. So there was a whole bunch of published authors and then people interested in being published and, you know, all the top 5, 10 Python book authors were there. There's some publishers there. It was a really interesting conversation. I mean, just as an example of, you know, geeking out on like a subgenre, like Carlton, that wouldn't be as interesting to you. But to me, that's like, oh, wow, like everyone's here. Everyone's here. Like,
I was just imagining you in your element there, which you were
describing. Well, no, it was me just really biting my tongue as long as I could. And then 30 minutes
burst.
In, I burst. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did want to... One of you mentioned Charlas. Can we talk a little bit more about that? That's 2 days of Spanish language talks, like a whole separate track?
It's a whole separate track. We have two great folks leading that charge, Christian and Denny. And yeah, we were super proud of it because it came as a hatchery project. So it came as kind of like an idea that the conference decided to kind of like hatch from and kind of like a, let's try to experiment with the Spanish language check. And then it kind of grew from that. And it actually became a permanent part of our programming, which is fantastic. So it's 2 days, technical talks in Spanish. There are captions available. And it's a great kind of way of realizing that, like, hey, everyone, not just English speakers, use Python around the world. And we really want to champion that. And it's been fantastic. I don't know if I'm allowed to spoil the surprise, but but I'll do it anyways. Why not?
Do it live. Yeah.
I'll do it live. So we're really proud. We're going to have a Spanish speaking keynote this year.
Oh, wow.
So we're super excited about it. And just kind of like really just going, hey, we really want to support folks, everyone using Python. And we're super keen on this Spanish keynote that will be super awesome. I am not allowed to say anymore, so I can't really say much. But at least I could tell you that's one of the big things this year is the fact that we really want to celebrate the fact that there's Python users around the world who might not all speak English.
Yeah. And I know the U.S. maybe doesn't have the best reputation these days, but even in the U.S., a lot of people speak Spanish, and especially in California, a lot of people speak Spanish. So it's great to see.
Yeah, and when we were telling folks at scale that, hey, we have a Spanish-speaking language talk, they were all super excited to be like, oh my goodness, really? That's fantastic. Thanks for being so inclusive. So we're hoping that we'll be like, look how great we are. Please come. Please hang out with us.
It's a great example of, you know, the small ways in which we can make the community better. When I started out as a junior, it literally was, if you didn't speak English, it was learn English. And it's like, so I want to learn the program. I'm going to learn a second language first. Like, that's a bit of a barrier, right?
What else? We wanted to talk for about 30 minutes. I mean, there's so much about organizing, calling out new things. Maybe I'll toss a question to each of you. So what's one thing that's different about this year versus last year that you're excited about, either John or Elaine?
John, what do you think?
This is an answer I can reuse every 2 years. We're in a new city, right? And yeah. I've not spent time
That's
in,
true.
so I've not spent time in Southern California, really. So I'm excited to be there. More importantly, I'm excited to, be there and meet the local Python community, right? Lots of our attendees come from the local area, right? Of course, it's a big conference. We get people flying in from all over. But in many, many cases, right, people are coming in, you know, via train or car or when, depending on the venue, maybe they're even walking there, right? And I'm stoked to be able to meet a bunch of Python community members that I might not otherwise encounter in my day to day, right? You know, even with all the online stuff we're doing, it's a lot harder to just randomly bump into someone than it is in the hallway or in the expo hall or whoever happens to be sitting to your left in the keynote, right? And those sort of coincidences lead to long friendships and I've seen people meet at a talk together and start an open source project or start a conference or go on to
start a
find
podcast.
A new job, start a podcast. Exactly.
There we go.
Yeah, indeed. Exactly.
So that's what I'm excited about that's new. I'm looking forward to connecting with a big community that I'm probably not all that familiar with yet.
And I'll just say the food, like as an East Coaster, like California food is so good, the fruit has taste. I mean, Carlton, you're in Spain, so this doesn't apply to you. Yes. But in the winter in New England, there's really good food, but I lived in San Francisco for a number of years. It was better. So I'm pretty excited to get some California food, get some Mexican food. I'm excited for that.
For me, I'm just like echoing John's comments. I'm super excited about being a new city. I'm super excited to meet all the lovely folks that couldn't make it out to the East Coast when we're in Pittsburgh, but can be able to meet out in the West Coast. I know for me, yeah. I'm a giant film nerd. So part of me is just like, I really want to meet folks who are doing Python with movies, whether it be special effects or my day job has been kind of just doing a lot of analytics for viewership and data. So even just meeting those folks who are using Python in not non-traditional ways, but kind of using Python in more creative ways. And I feel like I remember reading an article way back in the day that like a popular US band called Weezer, the front man was learning Python.
River
I remember
Cuomo,
reading,
yeah.
Yeah, River Cuomo. Hopefully River will join us. He might be in the area.
Ooh.
Maybe, I don't know. And also even big stage shows. Like I remember reading like Nine Inch Nails was using Python to kind of mount like very cool special effects for one of their tours. And they made a little drum machine using Python that actually I thought he was, they were just mimicking, like he was putting his hands up to kind of like start the drum pads or whatever. And it turns out it was just literally like mapping his hand movements and like checking where his hands were going. And then using Python to kind of interpret what he was doing and then make the drum loops start going. So hopefully meet some of these folks who are usually not necessarily based in Pittsburgh, but based out west, to kind of meet up and be like, hey, that's awesome. Tell me more about what you do with Python, because there's so many different applications that we often forget because, you know, the classic answer is always like, oh yeah, I use Django. Oh yeah, I do some scripting, but some of those folks are just taking it like to a whole new level. So can't wait to meet those folks.
Will, what are you excited about?
I already said food. I sometimes go to Django events, or I always like going to Python events and just getting a in-person pulse on what people are thinking. I mean, last year I was really struck by, obviously FastAPI has tremendous mind share, and trying to unpack a little bit about where does that come from? Like, what do people mean? And I think one thing I realized last year is a lot more Python people are coming in, not just through data science, but through AI training models. And so to them, the web is a secondary or an afterthought in a way. So they're like, well, all I need is an API endpoint, or all I need is to hook up my model to something else. So that was really interesting to have that conversation a couple dozen times and realize, oh, okay, that makes sense. You know, how can Django fit into that? So one of my talks I gave last year was around Django and AI and how to do some of these things, but I'm still just curious. Yeah, just the conversations. I mean, specifically, just before this, I was on a call with a colleague. You know, AI, right? So we're all dealing with AI. We're all using AI. PyCharm JetBrains is integrating AI. I really want to hear how people are actually using it, right? Like right now, everything is about agents, agentic this. I want to see, like, is that the case? Are people using chat stuff? Like lots of people also come up and say, like on my flight back from Amsterdam, someone heard me say PyCharm. My seatmate asked me, I don't just like hold up a sign saying PyCharm. And he was like, I love PyCharm, da, da, da. And I was like, well, what do you think about these features? And he's like, oh, I can't use AI. I'm in the Navy. Like, you know, it's all military. So it's only for local stuff, right? So it's, and there's a lot of those people, right, who just can't use AI at all. So it's only when I go in person that I get a sense of like how it's actually being used. So sorry, that's a very long answer. But basically, I want to like actually see how real world people are using it. And then even you mentioned, John, like students will show up, right? In Pittsburgh, there are a whole bunch of Carnegie Mellon, UPitt students will show up. There's a ton of schools around Long Beach. They have sometimes the best questions because they just sort of come out of left field and make me rethink everything. So yeah, I'm excited to be there and excited to stay for the sprints after. So
I just imagine you have a giant like LED PyCharm sign that you just carry everywhere.
I was able to fly premium economy back from Amsterdam. And so the person next to me, you know, was a CTO in Boston. And so I really, as much as I like, once you get me going, you can't shut me up. I try not to just like, you know, I just spent almost a week talking about Python. So it wasn't like I was trying to talk about it, but these things present themselves. And to your point, all these people in the world are using it in different ways. So this specific person, he was coming back from Mobile World Cellular in Barcelona, Carlton, which is like this huge, huge.
Yeah, that's giant. Yeah.
So he was just routing through Amsterdam, but he was, you know, based in Boston. And, you know, so it's just like informal thing. And he was saying how Python's used in some of the cellular stuff. And it's like, boom. That's how you learn.
Yeah.
I'm always really excited to hear about all of those. Oh, I never really considered that would use Python, but of course it does, because it's such a big language. When we were at Scale this past weekend, you know, we were at a booth with some folks from SoCal Python and PyBeach, which was awesome, and I'm very grateful that they hosted us. My opener to a lot of the folks who came up to the booth was, you know, do you use Python? But it should probably be, how do you use Python, right? Because so many people are using it for things I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, we had some really great conversations with a lot of folks who just came up to us and like, hey, I'm doing this cool thing using Python. Like, I think someone was building a PyJail or And I was like, I don't know what that is. And then they spent a couple of minutes explaining it to me and kind of going like, oh, we're just like stress testing to see what's going on. And I was like, so it's literally kind of, you're trying to break it and you're trying to find security vulnerabilities, so like sort of. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. And the big thing also is that, which I also want to highlight, is that it's actually been, I believe 2026 is 15 years since the starting of PyLadies. And for any of you folks who love PyLadies history, PyLadies actually originated in the Los Angeles area. So it actually, so it's been really cool to meet when we're at Scale, which is the Southern California Linux Expo, like the folks who started it, who were part of that original group. And to me, that was super inspiring as someone who really found PyLadies as like the greatest organization ever. They really got me in this place where, like, you know, without the PyLadies travel grant, I couldn't go to my first PyCon US and meet all these lovely people. My first PyCon was Portland. And I just remember, this is my favorite of all time, where I don't think I hung out with a single dude for the first 3 days of my conference. There was this back-to-back PyLadies events and PyLadies folks who just take you under the wing, like, oh, go here. Or, oh, we're going to have dinner here. Come with us. And I was just so shocked, being like, oh, for a very male-dominated industry, for a male-dominated event, like all these women just kind of came around and went, come with us, hang out with us. And it made it super welcoming and nice for someone, you know, as a female solo traveler who didn't know anyone at the conference. I was like, whoa, what's going on? And then just having that community come up to you immediately to be like, let us take you under our wing, make you feel safe and welcome, and make you feel like you are part of this community. And so for me, PyLadies is so great. And I'm so excited that it is their 15-year anniversary. It's a big milestone for them. And we get to have our big PyCon in their backyard in Long Beach.
And the auction, right? I think there might be a PyCharm item that's part of the auction.
Oh my goodness. I'm so excited. The auction, of course, is the biggest fundraiser for PyLadies for the year. If you have never been, it is, I don't know how to describe it outside of, you just have to experience it. It is a great...
Someone bought like a 6-foot poster of Guido, right? That was the one of the big things last year.
Yep. And I think I ended up with a signed Python logo of all the folks who worked on 313. Or rather, I think it's all the CPython folks that worked on C13. So really, really fun auction items. All of it's going towards ensuring that PyLadies can do great work with their chapters. And also, it is also our main fundraiser for the PyLadies travel grant, which allows more folks who might not be in a position to attend PyCon US in the future. And highly recommend it. It is one of the most hilarious moments you can get at a conference, if only to watch a lot of people fight over a pen, which is a very, very popular auction item. If you ever win the pen, kudos to you. It is a well-fought battle. So,
yeah, I'll just do a quick self-promotion. Last week, there was a PyLadies panel at PyTV with Georgie, Una, and, Jessica Green. So I'll put a link to that where they talk about PyLadies, the fact that every chapter really handles things differently, even as it's a global organization. So that was a really good conversation.
Yeah, we touched on a whole bunch of the kind of big tentpole aspects of the conference, but Will, I know we could talk forever. I do want to mention some of the other events that people might not know about that happen at PyCon US. So we talked about talks, tutorials. I think maybe we briefly mentioned posters. So on the third day of talks in the expo hall, there is a poster session where people will be presenting their posters. You can come ask, you know, read about what they've been working on, ask questions. We've also got, I already mentioned the newcomers orientation and the opening reception that happens on the day before talks start. So try to get to the conference a day early if you can, because opening reception is always a blast. You know, it's where if you've been coming for a long time, you'll you'll see, you know, your friends who have just gotten into the city for the first time in, you know, maybe a year, right? And if it's your very first event, there's a ton of energy in that room, right? Everybody's just really, really excited for those next days of talks and sprints. The 2 days before that, we have tutorials. So if you've got something you're looking to learn more about, maybe there's an AI topic, maybe there's a security topic, maybe you've got some, you're looking for, hey, this AI stuff is really cool. How does all that machine learning work under the hood? Right. We've got all sorts of content for you there. And
those are usually 3 hours each, right? The tutorials. So you can do two in a day if you want.
Yeah. You can do two in a day. Several times throughout the conference. Also, we have lightning talks. And for folks who don't know what lightning talks are, they are very short. They're hard limited to 5 minutes. Much as we would like to see people, you know, go give a longer talk, we do only have 5 minutes per lightning talk. And you can go give a presentation on maybe something that inspires you while you're at the conference. Right. Hey, I've been working on this project. I see that some people are interested in the same kinds of things as I am because maybe I attended an open space and we talked a little bit about it. And I want to introduce the rest of the conference to it. Right. It's a really good example of why someone might give a lightning talk. They're also often things that people will prepare, you know, well in advance, just as a fun, you know, a fun way to present a topic that people might not already know about. We talked about the auction. There are a couple of lunches that happened on the same day as the posters. There's also a job fair. So if you've met a bunch of folks throughout the expo hall while that was open, many of them will also have job fair tables, some other companies too. So if you're looking for work, and you do Python, this is a really good place to find people who are hiring. Elaine, I'm sure that I'm missing some stuff. There's so much that happens, at this conference and especially, so many people that make it all happen, right? We get the opportunity to talk with you here, but, there are, dozens and dozens of people who are working behind the scenes to make sure that, right, all of this does go off without a hitch. What did I miss, Elaine?
I feel like you forgot Startup Row.
I did forget Startup Row. What's Startup Row?
Ooh, yeah.
So Startup Row happens during the Expo Hall. It's a great highlight of the up-and-coming companies that would like to showcase some of the great work they're doing at PyCon. We usually have about eight folks that kind of come up and some of the good and kind of say like, hey, check out our work is a great way for them to kind of meet the community. Also say like, hey, check out my products, see what you think. And it's a great way to kind of get like, of course, the classic, I need testers, I need feedback. So I feel like I always default to like one of my favorite folks from Startup Row is this lovely company called Anvil. They kind of make kind of Python accessible. Like basically all you have to worry about is just writing code. They kind of deal with all the deployments for you and kind of make it super easy. So you're just like, you only concentrate on one thing. You don't have to like one of all the friction goes away. You just write the code, it magically appears and then it runs. So that is my classic example of like a company that started Startup Row, has done quite well, great product. They come back every year to sponsor. Huge shout out to the folks at Anvil. They're fantastic folks. I believe they're based in the UK. John, you probably have a few more examples of folks who are from Startup Row that have gone on to do nice things.
Yeah, I mean, I had the pleasure of this was some years ago now, helping out one of the Startup Row selection processes, which was a lot of fun. And so to give maybe a little more insight into some of the behind the scenes work that I was talking about, I as a local meetup organizer, worked with some of the startups in in New York to put on a pitch event in coordination with PyCon US Startup Row. And so, you know, this is like a lot of things in Python communities, right? A lot of this is like sort of local up, right? And so it was super, super exciting to get to coordinate with Jason and now Shay on that process, you know, that year that I helped out, because there was we essentially had you know, a local meetup that was startups talking about how they use Python and what they're building. And you know, that back then that was one of the ways in which startups got in through that process. Elaine, I did want to ask, what if I'm a community organization and not a startup?
Well, we do have lovely, what's really nice about PyCon US is that we do give some space for community folks to showcase all their good work via our community boost, I guess, row. It's another row. And we usually accept about, depending on how much space we have in the expo hall, about 8 to 10 boosts per year. So folks in the past have been like Pi Ladies. So if you want to get a Pi Ladies exclusive t-shirt, that's the way to go. We also showcase a lot of communities like Your Python, this lovely Django Software Foundation, I believe, also had a booth in the past. We also showcase other lovely folks. Like last year, we had the Carpentries, which is a lovely nonprofit that kind of teaches folks how to code in a more academic setting. So we have that lovely space going. And we also have a community showcase that also happens during the job fair. So a lot of other folks come on that Sunday. So if you're looking for a job, if you're looking for looking at those lovely posters, you can also look at a lot of local groups who will be there to kind of showcase their projects and be like, hey, have you heard of Civic Band? Or have you heard of Pi Beach? It's just kind of like projects that have cool stuff that they want to show you in a more informal setting.
I always come away with a long list of things to follow up on after. And I think, I mean, we could easily keep talking. I think we're almost at an hour, so I might try to wrap it up. But the main action items for people is the Python website is the PyCon US website is amazing. It has all the information, right, on how to travel, how to register. That's where people should go, right, for further questions.
PyCon US website is probably the best way to go. You can find John and my contact information there. If you have any additional questions and you want to ask one of us, or you can, and there's also other contact information for stuff like if you want to sponsor. We always love sponsorship. So please, if your company has a few dollars to spare and would love a great PyCon experience, we're here to help. But yes, website is probably the best way of communicating or / getting all the relevant information. Schedule is going to come up later this week. Fingers crossed.
Okay. By the time this episode comes out.
Yeah. By the time this episode comes out, the schedule will be out. So check out all the fun talks that our poor talks committee had to whittle down. There was a lot of submissions this year and they did a fantastic job. So kudos, talk committee. There are so many people to name, but quickly, Felipe, Sarah, Christian, Zach, Salona, I'm sorry, but you didn't know your name, Juanita, Seth, and Christian, and Denny. They did a fantastic job. And this is not just talks committee. This is also tutorials and posters. This has been a very, very, very large operation this year to make everything work. And they were really the true backbones to make this conference successful, because without content, why hang out?
There we go.
Yeah,
exactly.
A couple more things on the website. When you sign up for an account on the website, if you're interested in hearing exactly when the schedule comes out and when you know open space signups are live, those sorts of things, we do have a newsletter, so you can check that box and you'll get the email with the schedule announcement and with the, you know, all of the day of info, any other events that are happening and added to the webpage. You know, we do try to send that out. Another thing that will be opening up at some point is, as we get closer to the conference, is on-site volunteer signups. So in addition to all the people who work year-round and then some to make this thing happen, we rely on lots and lots of on-site volunteers. I stepped away from the DrangoCon US registration desk for a little bit last year to chat with you, but I had such a fantastic time volunteering at the registration desk there.
It's the best way to meet people is to help out.
It's,
for sure,
it's such a good way to meet people. It's a great way to if you're looking to be in a talk room, and you want to help make that that space happen. We've got lots and lots of places for people to pitch in. So that'll be open on the website. There's also a mailing list that I think we can probably share in the show notes.
Okay, for sure. We'll have all that in there. And yeah, if you can make it, all the talks are available on online after. And can't highly recommend it enough.
Yeah, there's a pretty quick turnaround for the talks getting uploaded to YouTube.
Oh yeah, super fast sometimes. Yeah,
like super fast. And I just one last thing, because I always forget to plug this. We actually have when you register, you can also register for hotel rooms that are very, very close to the convention center. And we actually got really great deals. We've been negotiating a lot back and forth with these folks. And this actually helps keep our conference costs down, is by partnering with these hotels. So if you can, when you register for your ticket, please register with one of the hotels that we've partnered with. It will help the conference a lot in terms of just costs, and also you don't have to walk as much. And after a long day of walking back and forth in the convention center, trust me, you'll be thanking yourselves by not having to walk an additional 30 minutes back to your Airbnb.
We'll have all the links. We are djangochat.com and on YouTube. And John and Elaine, thanks so much for coming on again. And it'll be fun to see you both 2 months in person.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Great, 2 months.
Thank you again for having us.
Have a good point.
All right. Bye-bye, everyone. Great,
thanks a lot.
Thanks again to 6 Feet Up, the Python, Django, and AI experts you call for the hardest software problems. From scaling applications to simplifying data complexity and unlocking AI outcomes, they help you move forward faster. See what's possible at 6feetup.com.